The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Cruise Radio is brought to you by InsureMyTrip.com. Travel insurance done right from the people who know travel insurance. Find out more at InsureMyTrip.com.
Broadcasting from the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Happy to have you here, my friend. On this show, listener Joe Tolley from Charlotte, North Carolina, checks in. He just did a 7-night Eastern Caribbean sailing aboard Carnival Conquest, and he'll check in a little later on in the program. But a lot of cruise news happening lately. Wow, we'll just jump right to it with Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. Doing well. Yourself?
Good, man. Let's jump right to it. Celebrity Cruises orders 2 more cruise ships. Give us the scoop.
Well, the latest is that the ships are slightly smaller than the Solstice-class ships. That's going to be deemed Project Edge. They're going to build 2 2,900-passenger ships that are going to be 117,000 tons instead of the 122 to the 126 that the previous 5 were. And they're going to take a lot of the combination from the Solstice and the Millennium class and combine them together. One of the things that the former president of Celebrity had said that they're trying to get the, you know, make the ships a little bit more intimate so they can get into smaller ports. But, you know, a 5,000-ton difference is not a big deal.
Yeah, it went from, like, what, just over 1,000 to just under 1,000, 2 in length, right?
Correct.
Moving on here, Carnival Cruise Lines offering longer itineraries for 2015 and 2016. What are we going to see?
We're going to see some interesting changes. They're going to be doing 10 to 14-day cruises on 6 different ships between October of 15 and February 16, and, you know, based on some popular demand, some passengers would like to see extended calls, so they'll spend more time in ports. You know, one of the ports that was mentioned was Nassau. I just don't see many people asking for extended time there. King's Wharf in Bermuda and St. Martin and St. Thomas, they're going to do an overnight in Bermuda on some sailings, so I mean, it's nice to see some additional time for passengers. I mean, the days at sea are great. Additional ports are great. And some you know, additional time in some of these ports will really make a difference. But it's nice to see that Carnival Cruise Lines is expanding their horizons versus, you know, the typical just a 7-night sailing, especially the sailings on ships departing out of Baltimore. It's nice to see, you know, New Orleans. You know, the very first time we're going to see an 11-day sailing out of New Orleans, and it's going to include Bermuda. That's never happened before.
Yeah, that's kind of, what do they say, going around your knee to get to your elbow?
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
But, you know, I mean, for passengers that are sailing from the Midwest, from New Orleans, let's say Tampa, you know, the Houston, Galveston area, it's nice to be able to offer some different itineraries versus the traditional Western Caribbean or Florida Bahamas itineraries.
Moving on to Norwegian Cruise Line, they just announced a big partnership.
Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville is going to be actually putting a restaurant as well as a bar, the 5 o'clock somewhere bar to be specific,
nice.
on board the ship. And they unveiled this last week at their all-employee meeting, which I happened to go to. And they surprised the audience with the announcement of Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville and the bar. And he actually came, and Jimmy Buffett was there, put on a nice performance. Unbelievable how many NCL employees were there, which also included for the first time the Prestige Cruise brands, Oceana and Regent employees were there as well. So it was quite an affair. They say there, Doug, fins up.
And I also, speaking of fins up, there's going to be a Margaritaville also installed on their private island of Great Stirrup Cay. And also, it was a Belize there. Where they're developing
The Harvest K that they're building out there. So it's, I mean, they're going to go crazy with it. It is an absolute perfect association, a partnership between the two companies. They're a lot of fun.
This next story is rather interesting. It really didn't come as a surprise because there's been speculation, but Richard Branson from Virgin is now going into the cruise business. I read.
Well, we've heard this a few times, and most recently, I guess it was back in March of 2014, and you may recall us pointing that out, that it's not the first time. We joked that maybe he'll combine forces with Australia's Clive Palmer, who's built the
Titanic guy.
Yeah, he's been trying to build a Titanic too, and maybe they could call it Virgin Titanic. Let's go down together,
boy.
But the big credibility piece here is that he did secure funding from Bain Capital, and they announced their first hire, which is Tom McAlpin, who is a former Disney Cruise Line presidents. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of experience as he grew up through the Disney Cruise founding, and so that adds a great deal of credibility. There's all kinds of speculation about what the ship will look like. We'll kind of see what happens. I mean, there's nothing to read into it. Some people are speculating that, the ship design's done. He's going to shake things up. I mean, we've heard this so many times before, and it certainly will bring some excitement. Richard Branson will have a small part of it. He doesn't invest a lot of money mm-hmm. like he does in all of the different ventures. It's he kind of puts a little bit together. Puts the people together, licenses his name, and other entities tend to fund it. So we'll see how it goes out. But the bar will certainly be set very high. Some people are like luxury. No, it's definitely not going to be luxury if what is reported to be a large 4,000 passenger ship.
I know one thing is safe to say: 2014 has been the year of the cruise line CEOs, with everyone switching positions, going in, going out. So now it looks like Royal Caribbean and Celebrity are both getting new CEOs.
Well, Doug, I think you could call this musical chairs. And, it's one foot in and one foot out. Let's do the hokey pokey. But essentially, Michael Bailey, the now former CEO of Celebrity Cruises, is now moving over to become president and CEO of Royal Caribbean International. And Lisa Lutoff-Perlo, who was the executive VP at Royal Caribbean, is moving back to Celebrity, and she will take Michael Bailey's position as president and CEO of Celebrity. Hmm. And it's an exciting move, I think, because it's actually going to be the first time in our industry's history where the top three positions of president and CEO, senior VP of sales, senior VP of marketing, are all handled by women. Hmm. And I think it's a great sign of Royal Caribbean's diversity and forward thinking. All three of these women are really terrific, and adding the two new ships for Celebrity, of which Lisa actually was previously with Celebrity and spearheaded the construction efforts and design efforts of the Solstice class ships, of many of the Solstice class ships. So. Hmm. She's very well qualified, and people will be very excited as she leads Celebrity in the years to come.
Exactly. And in closing here, Stuart, Voyager of the Seas just underwent a $80 million renovation. What did she get?
Well, it it got some additional cabins. They added the Flow Rider, which is being added to many of the other Voyager class ships.
Mm-hmm.
The virtual balcony staterooms, the 3D cinema, and some digital signage. So it's some exciting stuff that'll make a difference. These additional cabins were added. The dining rooms were changed around. Portofino's restaurant in the Windjammer Cafe was turned into Chop's Grill.
Cool.
They made some nice additions. Refresh it. Remember, Voyager's 15 years old. It was, at the time, the largest ship in the world, very groundbreaking. It was the first to have, the rock climbing walls and the ice skating rinks. It certainly was due for some updating. So it's going to be very good for, the ship as it sails, as it plies the Australian waters, and then as it heads back to return to Singapore in April of 2015.
And that wraps up a busy week of cruise news. You can find him on Twitter at Cruise Guy or cruiseguy.com. Stuart Sheeran, the Cruise Guy. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Doug, my pleasure.
From the Space Coast to the West Coast, this is Cruise Radio.
How many times have you said, "That'll never happen to us"? Vacations are a big investment with both time and money, and they should be protected. For over a decade, InsureMyTrip.com has been the online travel insurance leader, offering the best plans from the most trusted providers. Our licensed and award-winning customer service team makes sure you have the right coverage for your travel. To find out why over 98% of travelers would recommend InsureMyTrip, visit InsureMyTrip.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We always like getting your listener reviews. If you have one you'd like to share, just email comments at cruiseradio.net, like listener Joe Tolley did from Charlotte, North Carolina. He just returned from a seven-night Caribbean cruise, Eastern Caribbean cruise, aboard Carnival Conquest out of Miami, and he joins us right now. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
Good, man. It's been a long time. Good to hear from you. So you sailed on Carnival Conquest. Ship launched in 2002. Renovated the Funship 2.0 in 2012. So let's talk about the cruise experience aboard Carnival Conquest. So before we get to the actual ship itself, Joe, what made you want to take this seven-night Eastern Caribbean sailing?
This particular choice was due to a little bit of budget because we had some good vacation opportunities earlier this year. So wanted to do something that had a decent itinerary, but still on the inexpensive side. Being Thanksgiving week, you know, I know they're going to have a little bit of accelerated prices on some cruises. So we ended up defaulting to this one because of the Eastern itinerary. And I had never been to Puerto Rico before, so that was one of the driving forces behind it.
Very cool. We'll talk about those ports here in a little bit, but let's get to the ship itself and start at embarkation. So how was embarkation for you and the family at Port Miami?
Embarkation was really, really good. We went ahead and got the Faster to the Fun pass. Wanted to try that out because we really wanted to just get on the ship as soon as possible. And if this is any indication, I've discovered that our parking pass had us checked in at 9:01. So got there a bit early. But we got on the ship about 11:30, something like that. And we were just behind the priority boarding on that. So, the embarkation process was really nice. We actually got there basically before the crowds got there.
Very good. What were your first impressions of Carnival Conquest?
Being in a little bit of an older ship, it has, you know, that wonderful Carnival, there is no such thing as white space design. Yeah. The theme of the ship is really interesting because it was based on old Renaissance artists. Mm-hmm. So all of the different rooms were named after master painters, and there was replicas all over the place and every indication of classical Renaissance art all over the ship. So it was really nice, even though it was a bit loud.
Yes. Let's talk about your stateroom then. You made your way onto the ship through the atrium. You had Faster to the Fun, so you didn't have to wait to get into your stateroom. You could proceed right to it. So what kind of stateroom did you have, and what did you think of it?
Well, first of all, just to give a little indication, I am cheap. Mm-hmm. So we always go for the inside cabin.
Okay.
Just because we hardly ever spend any time in the cabin anyway.
Right.
So I just want to spend more money on the ship and absolutely on the excursions themselves. We got an inside cabin. Surprisingly, it actually felt very roomy for as small as it was. And one thing that we did that we haven't done before is we actually split the king size bed in half so that me and my wife actually slept in separate beds for the first time with the kids' bunks above us. So that actually gave us a lot more room. The bathroom itself, you know, typical bathroom, it did seem, again, a little bit more roomier than normal, which is very surprising, but not saying it was a roomy room, though.
You, my friend, should win an award. Seven-night cruise, three girls, interior cabin. Wow.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the actually, this sounds weird, but I spent a lot of time in the men's shower.
Okay.
That's where I took my daily showers, actually.
Okay, gotcha. A little space there for you then. So you you get settled in, you go grab a bite to eat, and with Carnival Conquest going through Funship 2.0 back in 2012, you had a lot of food options. So where did you eat, and what were your impressions of the food on Carnival Conquest?
Take a guess.
I'm going to say Guy's Burger Joint, if you're anything like me.
I went straight to the burgers.
Nice.
And I have to be honest with you, that was the best burger I've ever had.
Yeah. That was that your first one?
Yes, that was my first one. Okay. It shocked me. It was just so good. Actually, on day five, I had my first official Guy's Burger Joint dream.
I haven't gotten that far yet. Wow, a Guy's Burger Joint dream. That could be a different show altogether. What did you think about the Lido buffet area and everything else that was added?
Okay, first of all, Guy's Burger Joint was great. The Blue Iguana, my girls really liked the burritos, and I sampled their burritos, and they were really, really good as well. Mm-hmm. The Lido cafeteria area itself, the buffet, I actually wasn't too impressed with.
Right.
It seemed very, very typical, and there wasn't anything shocking about it at all. We did have the deli a couple of times, and that was really good. And then the pizza in the back was spot on. The pizzas were great.
So what were your impressions of the main dining room?
The main dining room, beautiful design, again, with the Renaissance painters. One was called the Monet. The other was called the Renoir, sorry. Mm-hmm. Little Eiffel Towers accenting everywhere. Food itself, it was very up and down. We had two elegant nights, and the food was just a tad better than okay. Mm-hmm. And then wasn't really that great on the other couple of nights there. Okay. So it was very surprising. Now, we did go to the C-Day brunch, and that was absolutely delicious.
What did you have at the C-Day brunch?
I got to have Eggs Benedict on the brunch. And, of course, the Bloody Mary.
You got to have the Bloody Mary from the Bloody Mary bar there at the C-Day brunch. So one thing Carnival did with entertainment is when Funship 2.0 launched, they took all their Broadway-type shows and consolidated them to 30-minute shows with Playlist Productions. They also brought on game shows and other activities on board. So what did you think of the entertainment on board Carnival Conquest?
I thought it was great. I really, really dig the half-hour format. Mm-hmm. Just because of attention span and with so much to do on the ship anyway, it gives you the opportunity to do more exploring. This particular cruise had four different shows. And again, not to compare it to the new Quantum of the Seas 270 room, but they've got these big, huge TV displays in the background as the backdrop for the singers or the performers. And it was just really, really dramatic shows. The four different ones that we saw. Then we also did the Hasbro family game show mm-hmm. in there. And that was really, really, really fun. My daughter tried desperately to get up on stage, but to no avail, was not able to get up there.
Did you check out the comedians at all?
Oh, we did. This cruise, I've actually never seen a comedian on a ship before. And there were four comedians on this one. So of course, we saw the family entertainment version of the comedians, but the two of them were excellent, and the other two were good as well, but the first two that we saw were really spot on, had me on the floor.
One thing that really defines a cruise ship is how it behaves on sea days. When you have so many people on one ship and they're all kind of just stuck there, the outdoor areas, the pool areas, the atrium, how did the ship seem to flow to you on sea days, and how was the outdoor area in particular?
It was hit or miss. Mm-hmm. The pool area was obviously very crowded, and it seemed like half the seats were always taken without anybody sitting in them. The first sea day, we had lounge chairs pretty close to the pool. The other sea day, we had to get them way up into the top, basically. Mm-hmm. So it was very hit or miss. You got the Red Frog rum bar, and then the Blue Iguana tequila bar right there on the side. So that was a really good benefit of also those places got a little crowded, which I guess loosened up some of the pool area, because a lot of people were hanging out in those areas. But overall, it was really, really nice. And then they had the dive-in movies mm-hmm. at night that a lot of people really, really enjoyed on deck up there at night.
Yeah, totally. And you were on Thanksgiving week, and so you had a lot of good football happening. Did you get to hang out in the EA Sports Bar at all?
I did on a Saturday up mm-hmm. until a time I saw that Marshall lost 67-66.
Yeah.
So kind of walked away from that. Oddly enough, it didn't seem like it was very crowded in there. I wonder, because it's kind of off to the side on deck five, mm-hmm. and you have to access it either through the casino or through this relatively small door
next to the shops.
By the shops. And so I wonder if a lot of people didn't see it, because I figured it would be packed, and it just looked nice and full.
That is the best kept secret on the ship, the EA Sports Bar, because no one ever really finds it until towards the end of the cruise. So it's like, if you want to hang out and catch a couple of good games in there before it gets too crazy, a perfect place to do such. Did you check out the Alchemy Bar at all?
I spend a little too much time at the Alchemy Bar.
I think we all have.
I made that discovery on Tuesday, and made really good friends with the bartender there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That place was phenomenal. Highly recommend trying every single thing on the menu.
Now, were you ordering off the menu or did you create your own concoction?
I started off of the menu, and then wonderful bartender Inga, who was from the Ukraine, mm-hmm. I guess saw where my tastes were going. So she started blending some for me. Mm-hmm. I was a little too scared to make my own. So I allowed her to use my taste and she made me some special ones herself. So yeah, that was definitely a win.
So in closing here, Joe, let's talk about the ports you hit on this 7-night Eastern Caribbean itinerary and give us a brief highlight of each port as you're going through them.
Okay. First stop was Nassau. I'm not particularly a huge fan of Nassau mm-hmm. just because it's very touristy. On this trip, we wanted to just kind of take time to have some local food and some local beers and just kind of do the more of a local trip. Mm-hmm. And so in Nassau, we walked up to the fish fry and had lunch at a place called Goldie's Conch House.
Okay.
And that was really, really good. And then the Adestra, I don't remember how to pronounce it. The gardens were kind of across the street there. So we walked over to the gardens, had a nice little impromptu time there, and then took a taxi back. So that was really nice. Got to St. Thomas. That's the one I was looking forward to most. And we went over to Sapphire Bay mm-hmm. To go snorkeling. And I was actually very disappointed in Sapphire Bay. It was a very rocky beach.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Megan's Bay, but there were 6 ships in port that day. So I was worried about the crowds. So that's why we decided to go to Sapphire, and it was very beautiful, but it's also very rocky. The snorkeling was pretty decent, but it was also very choppy, so it was kind of cloudy. Let me see. And then we went to Puerto Rico on Thanksgiving Day. Mental note, in the future, don't ever go to an American port on Thanksgiving Day because half of everything is closed.
Nice.
We actually had 5 recommendations on restaurants to go there, and we walked to each one of them, and the first 4 were closed.
No.
So we finally got to the last one, and I had my first official Thanksgiving Day mofongo.
What is that?
It's apparently a Puerto Rican dish. It is fried plantains that are pummeled or muddled, and then mixed with any kind of protein topping you want. We got chicken, like a roasted chicken, and it was just absolutely delicious with a side of rice and beans. Last stop was Grand Turk. Which ended up being our favorite stop of the trip. We were going to go up to – I was just going to get a taxi and go up to Pillory Beach mm-hmm. in front of Bahio and just kind of relax on the beach for the day. But my wife decided that she wanted to do something else. So she got us she did the one thing I didn't want to do, which was get an excursion through the ship to go snorkeling and to play with stingrays over at Gibbs Key.
Yeah.
Ended up being awesome.
That's cool.
The group that we went with, they were great. They were very hands-on, very thorough with their tour guide. They weren't very touristy. They weren't like money hungry, like sure. taking pictures and demanding money. I mean, they were a really great group to go with. So we did that, and then made it back with about 2 hours to spare. So then we hung out. We went up to Jack's Sandbar. Is that
what
it's
called? Jack Shack.
Yeah, Jack Shack. We went up there. Obviously heard a lot of people talking about that and had some conch and some jerk chicken that was just awesome.
Well, Joe, it sounds like you had a great family vacation there. Do you have any first-time tips for people who may be sailing the Eastern Caribbean or Carnival Conquest?
2 things that really struck me about Carnival Conquest is even though I said the food in the main dining wasn't all that great as far as in the Lido deck, the pizza was great. Guys was great. Blue Iguana was great. And then my favorite food part of the ship was a little area on the promenade deck called the Taste Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just spectacular where they give you a little sampling of some different mm-hmm. restaurants. I think they had that open 4 times during the week.
Okay.
And we kept on going back to the back of the line. but that's just a great little area. And then also the Alchemy Bar, definitely have to hit that up and see my new friend Inga if you get a chance. And then the last surprising thing that I really, really enjoyed was the music on the ship as far as the entertainment goes was great. One of the best ship bands I've ever seen. Their name was Tonic Shock.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a Latin trio band.
Okay.
That was really, really good. I met a Latin acoustic guitarist who was really phenomenal on there. And then of all things, they had a folk duo that played the lobby a few times and everything in the casino. And they were excellent as well.
Awesome.
So it was just, it was all over the place and the music was great. And it was also the best cruise director I've ever had.
Who was it? You remember?
I don't remember his last name, but it was Mike and Rolly. Rolly was the assistant cruise director. But they were just, they were excellent the whole time.
If you want to catch any of Joe's coverage from his 7-night Eastern Caribbean round trip Miami Carnival Conquest sailing, just head to cruisehangout.com. We'll also link to it in the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Joe, my friend, great talking to you again and happy holidays.
Thanks, Tim, to you, Doug.
All righty, that'll do it. Don't forget about our new player on our homepage at cruiseradio.net. You can browse through all of our past episodes right there from our homepage. And if you want to log on to iTunes and leave us a review, that would be appreciated, too. Thanks again for being here, my friend. From the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the InsureMyTrip.com studios. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.